You have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel. We thank the Lord for the good singing tonight. Always enjoy hearing Brother Burns sing. He helps me. Helps me. Appreciate the precious family that had us for lunch today. Appreciate their kindness in doing that. We have been, since Sunday morning, looking at various and sundry people in the Bible who had an experience with a tree, And we have been preaching on the subject of being rightly related to the tree. We found on Sunday morning Adam and Eve, our papaw and granny, from whom we came forth from, found themselves behind a tree. It was the tree of the fallen. On Sunday evening, we looked at Elijah. He found himself under a tree. It was the tree of the fainting. I appreciate the Lord helping us around here last night when we looked at David. He found himself like a tree. It was the tree of the fruitful. We certainly couldn't do credit to this tree experience without going to Luke 19 and looking at Zacchaeus tonight. He found himself up a tree, It was the tree of the favored, Text says in verse number 1 of chapter 19, and Jesus entered, passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. He is rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before him and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. For he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. For today I must abide at thy house. Zacchaeus found himself up a tree, of the favor. This story is bigger, much bigger than the song that you have been teaching the little kids in the Sunday school class. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Climbed up into a sycamore tree. Well, the Lord, he wanted to see. There are two great lessons to learn from this story. One, in the form of a question, has God ever treed you about your eternal destiny? Where you're going when you die? Has he ever troubled you about that? And there was nowhere for you to go. He's up a tree. There's nowhere for you to go but to him. Second lesson I would learn from this story is, do you have any kind of desire or a burden to purposefully say something to someone else that God might use it to tree them? As we begin to unpack this story tonight, Zacchaeus up a tree, of the favor. I notice Zacchaeus' horrible state tonight. Zacchaeus is in a mess. Looks like from the story he's doing well. Spiritually, he's not. Notice the state of his self. The Bible tells us in verse number 2 that he was the chief among the publicans. Most Jews, whenever they'd say publican, they'd spit. Publican, he is an IRS agent, a tax collector. And if you work for the IRS tonight, my name is Scott Moneyham. I have had my dealings with that group. The Bible says here that he was the chief. Chief. He is the boss of all the tax collectors. They would set up their little tables on any roads or any place. They would collect a percentage to go by. They would send most of it to Rome, and they would keep most half of it for themselves. The Bible says that he was rich. I thought it was interesting what Jesus said about a rich man in heaven. He says it was easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle and for a rich man to ever enter into the kingdom of God. But not only was he state of his self, was he a chief among tax collectors. He's rich. But the Bible tells us in verse number 3 that he was short. Was probably often called shorty. Little man. I don't know what your dealings are if you're short tonight. I hang around when I was a kid with a boy for a number of years who was short. And I found him to compensate for his shortness with arrogancy, braggadocious, loud mouth. Absolutely would not ever humble himself about nothing. Finally, in his late 40s, overdosed with heroin. State of Zacchaeus's self. Very self-conscious, very self-braggadocious and loud and cocky. That was his state tonight. But I notice not only the state of his self, there was the state of his seeking. The Bible tells us very clearly in verse number 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. I thought it was interesting, this little word, sought to see. It is a term of enablement. He had to be enabled to want to see. You'd almost think God wrote the Bible. As the Bible says, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how many times you've prayed. You've been down a Romans road, a German road, a French road. Unless you be born again, you cannot see. Peter says in 2 Peter, man cannot cease from sin. Cannot. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Romans says, no one seeks after God. So in order for Zacchaeus to want to see, God had to have put that in him. So it tells me tonight that all man has is a problem. And all God has is a solution. So it would make me want to talk to God more about sinners than I would want to talk to sinners about God. Because he has the solution and all they have is the problem. And if the solution don't come to the problem, you're going to hell. Zacchaeus' horrible state. But I see in our text Zacchaeus' humbling step. There is a humbling admission. The Bible tells us in verse number 4, and he ran before and what? Climbed up a tree. What in the world is Zacchaeus saying to all the crowd that day when he climbed the tree? He's telling them all, I can't see. I can't. It is the first step to being saved, is to say, I can't take care of my eternal destiny. The church can't take care of it. Religion can't take care of it. The only one that can take care of it is him. And his brother sung to us tonight, no man ever cared for your soul like Jesus. He's telling the crowd, I'm short, I cannot see, I fall short. Oh, what a humbling step for a sinner tonight to say, I can't. And then to realize, this is awful deep, I don't even know if you can get this not so deep theologically. When you say you can't, you'll find out he can. I love that, don't you? I cannot do anything without him. He admits his inability. Did I not read somewhere in the Bible that God resisteth the proud? He's been proud and cocky all his life, but now he's going to humble himself. I cannot see. Humbling himself. God resisteth the proud, but he does what? Gives grace to the humble. There's a humbling admission. But I notice in the text tonight, not only is there a humbling admission tonight, but there is a holy commission. The only reason that Zacchaeus is seeking after Jesus is because Jesus has put seeking in him. Well, how did we know that? Look at our text, Luke 19, verse number 10. For the Son of Man is come to make good little boys and good little girls out of all people. It doesn't even say that in the Living Bible. He says the only reason he came was to seek and to save good people. No. He has never come to say, if you're here tonight and you're a good person, he sends all good people to hell. The only people he saves is lost people. Why is Zacchaeus seeking for? Because God has put it in his heart to seek. I was interested in the little word in verse number 10, to seek. It means to plot with purpose, to cause or require another to seek. He has come here with a purpose. What is the purpose? He has put it in Shorty's heart to seek God. And you'll find when he puts it in your heart to seek him, it's because he's seeking you. And when if you ever get two people together that have been seeking one another, woo, what a time it shall be. Are you listening to me? He says he has come to seek and to save, to deliver, to snatch from the brink of perishing. Zacchaeus is on the edge of going to hell, and he has put in his heart and mind to seek him because he's fixing to snatch him back from going to hell. But he says that he only does that for everybody, God forbid. Jesus, red letter edition in verse number 10, he says he only does that for lost people. Those who realize that they are dead and dying, they're on the brink of hell, and they are hopeless, and they cannot save themselves. I was wondering tonight, not be, God forbid I'd stick my nose in your business. Has there ever been an occasion where God treated you and you realize you was lost? You realize if the life left your body, you would feel the flames of an eternal hell at your feet, and you would there burn forever. Has there ever been an occasion like that? You say, preacher, I don't know about that lost stuff. Several years ago, I went over to Atlanta, Georgia. My middle boy was playing college ball then, had a basketball game over there, and we went over there to Atlanta to see him play. And after we ate and everything, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, I was heading back to Athens. And we were downtown in a very, 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 very bad area of Atlanta, Georgia. And I could see I-20, but I couldn't figure out how to get on it. There was a fence between me and I-20. And there was a gentleman, he was an Afro-American gentleman, and he was standing on the corner. It's 1 o'clock in the morning now, and he had a table set up, and he was selling incense at the stoplight. I don't know what else he was selling. I didn't ask him. I didn't want to buy any incense, but I gave him $10 to show me how to get on I-20. I'd have given him my Visa card if he'd have wanted to. How come? Because I was lost. I was hopeless. I couldn't figure it out. I could not get there. That's exactly where Zacchaeus found himself. He was treed. I have a dear preacher friend there in our area. I preach for him every year. He's a grace fella. He's telling me about a young college girl in his church the other day. She's 22, and he has pastored her since she was a little girl. And he said, preacher, he said, I assure you, he said, I've never seen God anywhere near her. He said, I've never seen her show any kind of sign growing up in church of any relationship with God. She went away to college, spent 4 years in college. And he said, I made up my mind when she went away to college. He said, I called her every month. And he said, I'd talk to her for a little while. And he said, every month when I called her, he said, I'd always close the conversation. And he said, I'd asked her, said, Joyce, God ever trouble you about where you're going when you die? And he said, she'd always say, preacher, I don't really think God's ever troubled me about that. And he said, okay, talk to you later. 4 years, every month, he'd asked her that. He said she got her education, got her degree. She come back home, teach school. Started right back in where she left off, coming to every service, sitting in the service. He said, I still ain't never seen no God on her at all. And he said, the other Wednesday night, he said, I was a-preaching. And he said, I looked back there, and he said the tears were flowing down her face. He said, when I got done, he said, she run out of the building. She's a-crying. He said, her grandpa come up there to the front, said, Joyce is all upset. She's crying. Don't you think we ought to talk to her? He said, leave her alone. Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. He said, when I got home about 9:30, he said, phone rung. He said, I looked at my cell phone. He said, it's Joyce. He said, I answered the phone. He said, she's crying uncontrollably. She said, preacher, she said, God troubled me tonight. And she said, I couldn't get back home. I had to pull over to the side of the road and have him to have mercy on my soul and save me. He said he heard all kind of noise in the background. He said, where in the world are you at? She says, I'm in the Dairy Queen at Elberton. I'm telling everybody, God saved me tonight. I'm asking you tonight, has God ever troubled you about you where you're going when you die? If he's ever troubled you about where you're going when you die, you better move towards that troubling. He may be putting seeking in your soul. Are you listening to me tonight? I notice not only Zacchaeus' horrible state, his humbling step, but I see Zacchaeus' harvesting Savior. He's a purposeful Savior. It says in verse number 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore to tree to see him, for he was, what? To pass by. I was interested in that little phrase, he was to pass by. It's a term of ordained purpose and arrangement. It is no accident that he has come to this tree. Oh, yes, he's the one that treed him. He has put lostness in his soul. He has troubled him. I can't see. Amen. Isn't that what happened to the woman at the well? He said, I must needs go through Samaria. Thank God for a Savior that passed by me one day with purpose. When I couldn't, he could. I couldn't come to him, so he came to me. I couldn't reach up to him, so he reached down to me. I couldn't accept him. He had already accepted me. I couldn't receive him. He had already received me. I couldn't choose him. He had already chosen me. I couldn't love him. He had already loved me. He did everything first, causing me to do what I did. Why in the world would I want to talk about what I did? Let's talk about what he did. I tell you, when I think about what he did passing by me, I have to say with the songwriter, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. And about the only thing I can say is, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He's a purposeful Savior. But I notice in the text, he is a precious Savior. He says in chapter 19 in verse number 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, this is a deep theological question. I don't know if you can get it or not, maybe way over your head. How did he know his name? Are you listening to me tonight? He calls him by name. Why in the world would he call him by name? How come he knew him by name? The old songwriter said he looked ahead in time and he knew me, yet he loved me. 2 Timothy said the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. John 10 said, my sheep hear my voice, and what? I know them. You ever thought about that story of the rich man and Lazarus? Always fascinates me. People believe there's another level where folks can go until they get all their sin works out. Abraham, Lazarus was in his bosom, and the Bible said the rich man was in hell. Said he wanted some water, put it right on the end of his tongue and cooled him. He said he was tormented in that flame. And Abraham told him, says, hey, listen, there's a great gulf fixed between me and you. I can't come to you and you can't come to me. He called the one that was already in heaven by name Lazarus, but he called the one that was in hell whatchamacallit. And he shall be whatchamacallit throughout eternity. He shall never have a name. No wonder he says they shall come into me that day and say, have we not done great things for you? And he says, I never know you. I'm glad tonight that he knows my name. He calls me by name. He told him in this precious Savior in verse number 5, he said, make haste and come down for today. What? I must abide with you. That little word must is an imperative command. It's not a hope. So he is not going to this tree. Man, I hope Zacchaeus makes the right decision. I hope he prays the right prayer. I hope he hooks up with that Romans road and says it's just right. No! He has come there for one purpose. He has come there to save him. And when he decides to, you can rest assured it shall be done. I must abide. That little word abide, must, it has the idea of to take up residence. It is imperative that I take up residence. It is akin to the phrase that God through Jesus said on the brink of Jairus' house after he run off the mourners. He stepped to the threshold of the house and said, give place. It is a military term. I have come to storm the throne room here and take over. Yeah, yeah. I ask you tonight, has anything like that ever happened to you? God ever treated you with lostness? I thought it was interesting. Verse number 9, Jesus saith unto him, this day, is salvation come to this house. A New Testament term, salvation, a deliverer, Hoshea, Jesus saves. He says here in our text, for as much as also he is a son of Abraham. He said, old Zacchaeus used to be physically, by birth, physically a son of Abraham. But now Jesus has come to his house, and he's not just a son of Abraham physically, but now he is spiritually a son of Abraham. He believes that this man that has come to his house before Abraham was, he said, I am. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad. He's a precious Savior. I'm glad of that tonight. In Christ now, I am a seed of Abraham. I have been adopted child of God with all the rights of a child. Zacchaeus' horrible state, humbling step, his harvesting Savior. I see also in our text Zacchaeus' hypocritical spoilers. Oh, they'll be around. Oh, they'll be family members especially. They said in verse number 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured. A buzz of complaint and examination with a desire to judge. Of course, the best way to stop a message, I'm sure some of you are very good at this. One way to stop God from speaking to you is attack the messenger. Well, gracious, just who in the world he think he is? That's all he does is holler. Are you listening to me tonight? See, if you attacked me, you get to cut the message off. Here, murmuring spoilers. But I noticed they were measuring spoilers. They said in verse number 7 that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Isn't it amazing tonight how religious people know what a sinner is, but they never know they are one? Are you listening to me? Isn't it amazing how religious people know what a sin is, What's too short? Oh, Christ, you see how short our skirt is. Or what's too long? You see his hair, how long it is? They know exactly. But they never see any sin in themselves. I thought it was interesting. A friend of mine some time ago, he had a lady in his family, and she's an alcoholic. She's a very religious alcoholic. And was over at her house one day, and she's a little tipsy. And she asked him, she says, "Is that lady still going to your church that wears them short dresses?" Wow. Religious people. What in the world's he going to Shorty's house for? Well, he's a sinner. Oh, the answer to the reason why he's going to Shorty's house, if you've got the Bible there, the answer to that is in chapter 15, the first two verses. "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, he even eats with them." He draws sinners to himself. He'll even go over there and eat with them. If your religion is repelling sinners, I'd get rid of it. I'd get rid of it. I'd can it all. Start over again. Last of all, there was Zacchaeus' hallowed salvation. His salvation involved a revelation and a regeneration. Divine call for his name, Zacchaeus. And with that was a quickening. He was made alive. Do not think for a moment tonight that your salvation begins with faith. It does not. Your salvation begins with regeneration. For over 100 years now, we have had decision-based salvation preached, and we have filled our church with goats that have made a decision and have never had God revealed to them in the plan of regeneration. You can see the context of Ephesians 2. Watch the order. Verse number 1, there is a quickening. Verse number 4, there is mercy. Verse number 8, there is grace, and then faith. You got to have quickening. You got to have mercy. You got to have grace, and then faith. He's not going to let you orchestrate anything and cause anything. Why, you take credit for it. Involved revelation and regeneration. But I notice in verse number 6 of our text, it involved receiving and repentance. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And the Bible says in verse number 8, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold," what is he calling him? What kind of name did he give him? He called him Lord. Was it not Paul that told us in Romans that no man would call him Lord apart from the Holy Ghost? Gracious, while he was up in that tree, the Holy Ghost has done got inside of him, awakened him, give him faith, and has now give him repentance. They're both a gift of salvation. He said, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." I wouldn't doubt it. This old boy set up a table, and people that coming by that he had crooked them and took money from them, he started paying it back fourfold to him. How come? Because Jesus had come by. I'm asking you tonight, has there ever been a time that God treats you with lostness? I love that old song, "Sinners Jesus Will Receive." Sound the word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. Now my heart condemns me not, pure before the law I stand. He who cleansed me from all spots satisfied its last demands. Christ receiveth sinful men, even me, with all my sin. Purged me from every spot and stain. Heaven with him I enter in, singing o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful men. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. He's ever treed you. You've come down into his arms. You can now clearly say, I have ceased from my wanderings and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are now all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. No dark clouds of doubt, now my pathway obscure since Jesus came into my heart. I ask you again tonight, has there ever been an occasion where God ever treed you and troubled you about where you're going when you die? I asked you again, do you have anybody on your heart tonight and you have an overwhelming burden to go and say a word to them that God might could use to trouble and tree their soul? That's the question. Zacchaeus, up a tree. The tree of the favor. We're standing tonight. Preacher, if you don't mind, I'd love to ask Kim and Brother Jim come back. I believe we're ready to hear that song now. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Maybe you would just reminisce while he's singing tonight. Maybe you'd reminisce about that day he come to the bottom of your tree and called your name. You maybe won't do something crazy like wave at him or something like that. Say hallelujah. Just get happy thinking about the day he treed you. And then maybe you'd get to thinking, man, I'm lost. I'm going to hell if I die. And he's the only thing that cares for me. Maybe you want to get in this old altar and ask him to have mercy on your sin-sick soul and save you. Maybe you know of someone tonight, you say, preacher, I'd love to see them get treed. Maybe he wants to use you to say a word in season that God could use it to tree them, put lostness in their soul. Amen. While he sings, God's saying something to you.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how it changed my life completely. Well, he did something that no other friend could
God
do.
God troubling you tonight about eternity?
No one has.
Troubling you about dying? I'd move towards that troubling. It's him. It's him. Devil won't trouble you about that.
There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and all the darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. All my life was full of sin. When Jesus found me, oh, my heart, it was full of misery and woe. But Jesus placed his strong and his loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and all the darkness from me. Oh, how much Jesus cares for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of life. Oh, but I'll never know just why came to save me, till one day, thank God, I'll see his blessed face above. Sing it with me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, we've preached for weeks on getting at his feet. And could I remind you how we began Sunday morning? With the fact that he wants to get amazingly at our feet. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but if Zacchaeus is up the tree and Jesus is under Zacchaeus at the foot of the tree, then Jesus is at Zacchaeus's feet, changing his life and changing his world. You just ought to mind him tonight. I was in class one day and somebody said, "Preacher, did Zacchaeus get saved over yonder at the house when the Lord went in the house? Or maybe did he get saved between that third and that fourth limb coming down, preacher?" Without hesitation, I said neither. I said he got saved going up that tree. Well, the only reason a man like Zacchaeus would want Jesus and would climb a tree. And the only reason you'll ever want to get at his feet is because he's working in your heart and in your life. So quit trying to figure everything out. You just listen. You just mind him, amen. Oh my, he can change your life, amen. I appreciate the preaching of the Word of God tonight. Grab that last verse, whatever it is for us, and then on that chorus, you really help him. Sing it unto the Lord when we get down there to help him.
Every day he comes to me with new assurance. And more I understand.
Are you listening?
His words of love.
Is he at your feet tonight? Dealing with your heart?
Oh, but I'll never know just why he came to save me. Till one day I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus.
cause you to want to climb trees. He'll cause you to want to go tell somebody about him.
As he no one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. No telling what the Lord has done or even has begun to do in this message tonight. So, well, preacher, nobody came and nobody got saved. Well, the Lord may have headed them out toward a tree tonight. I was thinking while the man of God was preaching, I believe I know when the Lord first troubled me. It was months and months before I ever got saved. Is my Sunday to take the money down? And I took the little basket of money from the Clay's down, Junior Clay's down, and was taken in the office. And the preacher was coming through. And he said, "Scott, have you ever given any thought to hell?" And went in his office and shut the door. Didn't say anything else to me. And I suppose I never ever had given any thought to hell before then. But I sure enough did after that day, amen. I want to tell you, the Lord knows how to treat you. You just listen. You just mind tonight, amen. Don't you appreciate the faithful preaching? The faithful preaching of the Word of God. Not about the Bible, not about the Word, but the Word, amen. That's what gets the job done. Glad to have visitors with us tonight. Tomorrow night's the concluding scheduled service of the meeting. It's hard to believe Tuesday night's already come, amen. And I'm looking forward to what the Lord will have to say unto us tomorrow night, amen. Visitors, we're glad to have you. Greet one another. Tell Brother Tom you appreciate the preaching of the Word of God. Be a praying for God to tree somebody, amen. You're at liberty if you've minded him this night, amen.